Good morning, all. Good morning. That sounds better. I think John's little testimony actually bears witness that you can't contain God, you can't contain the Holy Spirit. But what you can do is be open to what it is that God wants to do. Be open to what it is the Holy Spirit wants to transform in one's life. That's amazing. And like he says, you know, we do see miracles happen here. We do see things. But is it greedy to want more?
No.
I don't think it is. Not when it comes to God. To wanting more of the Lord is an amazing thing. Can we turn to John chapter 15, please? Today it's about abiding in his presence. And although I will read from my NIV, I will want to use a little bit of the King James. So, chapter 15, we'll read from verses 5. Chapter 15, it forms part of a discourse that Jesus has given to his disciples, which covers four chapters. That's chapters 13 to 16. In the preceding chapter, Jesus is comforting his disciples, letting them know that he is going to prepare a place for them. I'm sure we've already heard that this morning. Can't remember if that was in the prayer meeting. Yeah. In the prayer room, we had somebody say about Jesus is going to prepare a place. Sending of the Holy Spirit and leaving peace with them. So in chapter 15, 1 to 17, Jesus talks about fruitfulness. But actually, it's going to be verse 7 I want to focus on. But we will read from verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we've already heard that. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I'll stop there, actually. And it's even the first part. If you look at verse 7, it are actually two parts, and I want to focus on the first part. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. So from the Greek word, abide, we have remain, but it's actually in the King James Version, it will be abide. And abide in the Greek is meno, which gives the idea of something that is rooted, unmoving, stable, and full. So the first part of verse 7 could read, if I steadfastly and continuously abide in Jesus, and his words steadfastly and continuously abide in me. Note also that Jesus uses the word if at the start of verse 7. Doubt, uncertainty, not on Jesus' part, is actually an implication. There's a choice. There is always a choice. Choice for myself, for us, to want to remain, to make a conscious effort, whether we choose to abide in the Word of God, whether we choose to abide in his presence, whether we choose to be a part of his love. So there are three things I'd like to focus on. Connectivity, which actually is a word in today's society. You notice there's a passion and a well for connecting. There are lots of ways that we can connect around the world. We have smartphones, Android devices, iPads, laptops. Do you know, I even saw somebody using an iWatch to pay for something. They just done that and it was paid for. I thought, wow, my watch doesn't do that, but. These social devices, you can have things like, a lot of us know about these things, Skype, there's Messenger, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, I'm sure there are many more. And although these are phenomenal things, you know, from here to Australia, you can connect to somebody quite instantly. And it is good. But what you notice with whatever it is, whatever the device, there's always a distance. There will always be a distance between you and that person. Whereas Christ is saying, come now. Come right now and abide in me. Come into my presence. Come dwell with me. When we dwell with Christ, we're in a place of security. We're in a place of peace. We're in a place of trust and confidence because we're in agreement with what Christ is about. Abiding in Jesus, first of all, means having a life-giving connection to him. So a branch is connected to the vine and a vine to the branch. This is what theologians would frequently describe as union with Christ. Notice that this connection, this union, is mutual. We abide in him and he abides in us. If there is no connection, there is no life, no fruit. So do we have a passion to be connected with Jesus? Then there's conformity. Abiding also implies dependence. Our God is a God who deals in commands. He deals in creativity, but he always deals in commands. When he spoke and the universe was created, it wasn't a whim, it was a command. He commanded and it was. Abiding also implies dependence. This aspect of abiding, unlike connectivity, is not reciprocal. The branch is dependent on the vine. The vine is not dependent on the branch. The branch derives its life and power from the vine. Without the vine, the branch is useless, lifeless and powerless. Sap flows from the vine to the branch, supplying it with water. Minerals, nutrients, that's what helps makes it grow. And believers receive the sap of Christ's grace for our life-giving connection to him. We are like babies. We are completely dependent on for everything that counts as spiritual fruit. Romans 8 and verse 29, you don't have to turn there. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And Psalm 62, I don't know if you've been reading the year-by-year Bible. If you have, you will know this. Psalm 62 and verse 7 says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. You know, I'm not much of a gardener. I'm a very poor gardener. My gardening is not blessed by my hand. But yesterday I managed to clear some weeds, cut the grass, and in faith I sowed some seeds. Now I'm hoping that, I prayed for those seeds, so I'm hoping that those seeds will turn into lovely flowers. Oh, you have to water them. Yeah. It's a bit like we have to water our own spiritual life, I suppose, yes. Maybe that's where I go wrong. Right. Then there's the third word, continuation. Abiding also involves continuity. In fact, to abide, the Greek word means to remain, to stay, to continue. For example, in John chapter 1, we can turn there. In verses 38 to 39, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." I'll stop there, actually. So the two disciples who encountered Jesus asked him, "Where are you staying?" They wanted to know where Jesus made his residence. The word "staying" is actually connected to the word "abide." So to abide is to reside. To abide is to continue, to stay, to remain. Quickly turn to Hebrews 10. Verses 19 to 24:5. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more you see the day approaching." As you see the day approaching, sorry. Now there is an element into coming into the presence, and that's faithfulness. It's faith and the Holy Spirit. Before we ever knew God, God was already pursuing us. He showed it in the fullness at the cross. And then we heard a word which transforms our hearts. And in that moment, God gives us the faith that we need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. He wants us to trust in him, to abide in him for a reason. It's not that he wants us to stay there and do nothing. There is always a purpose with a living God. The universe is still expanding. This world is growing old. So what is the purpose? The purpose for abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we may overflow in love, in grace, in mercy. that we may show others what it is that Christ has done for us. We're like an open vessel. God pours his love into us, and out of that open vessel, his love pours out to wherever it is that we're at, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's walking down the high street, you're in the park, wherever it is that we are. If we're abiding in God's presence, then his love is going to be manifesting, because his love is uncontainable. His love is like a river that flows. So the vine is Jesus. Well, we believers, we're like the branches. The Father, Jesus says, he is the vine dresser. That is, the gardener who tends the branches. He prunes the fruitful branches so that they bear more fruit, and takes away the unfruitful branches, throwing them into the fire. The unfruitful branches are nominal disciples, people who outwardly will follow Jesus for a time, but fail to bear fruit. An example is Judas Iscariot, who followed Jesus, was even a keeper of the purse. The fruit we are called to bear includes both the fruit of transformed character. That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. And fruitfulness in evangelism, as we bear witness to Jesus and his work. So, do we think that we're fruitful? We've heard from John about how in Brazil they saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through healings, through signs and wonders. Are we challenged to be more fruitful? Are we determined to be a fruit producer? It is through abiding in him, because he is our shield. He is our fortress, our rock. He is our sustainer. If Jesus himself can testify, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. If Jesus Christ can say that, then how much more so do we need to say that? We can do nothing that has power, that has life, that has eternal consequences, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. I want to end on Matthew 5, actually. It's just one verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So what has this got to do with abiding? It's easy to be content. When you're content in a place. You're content with what you already have. But when you hunger and thirst for something, you receive that. But through Christ Jesus, actually, it's an outpouring. So you're always hungering, you're always thirsting for what it is that Jesus has for us, that it overflows, that it makes a difference. To be content, there's nothing wrong with being content. But being content is not the same as hungering and thirsting. Hungering and thirsting for what it is that God wants for us. To abide in his presence means we're fellowshipping with him. To fellowship with him means we're moving in the ways that he wants us to move. We want to see the signs and wonders. We want to be a part of great testimonies where we see people being healed. So do we think we are fruitful? Are we hunger and thirsting to be fruitful? Are we challenged to be more fruitful? How thirsty, how hungry are we? Are we determined to be a fruit producer? God waters the seed that grows in us. He's the one that waters it. He's the one that makes it grow. It grows for a reason and a purpose. That's to serve Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him. We bow our heads and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you through the blood of the Lamb, and we ask that you would help us to have servant hearts. Servant hearts where we are fruitful for you, where we abide in your presence so that we can respond accordingly when a situation arises, that we are able to be the fruit you want us to be. That's a fruit that has eternal consequences, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. And the other purpose is that it glorifies you. And we ask for that, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Could the band please come up? If anyone wants to respond, would like prayer, then please come forward. Come forward for prayer. If anyone doesn't know the Lord and wants to know this fruitfulness, this life, this transformation, please come forward and receive Christ. For today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of Jubilee. Today is the day that God wants to bless you. Amen.